Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back and better than ever. We are 1 month away from the NFL draft. We're going to be getting into our first 1.0 mock draft, just for the first two rounds in this episode. But we're also going to be talking about everything the Lions have done in free agency since our last episode and some other news that has happened that we're probably all pretty aware of. But we want to get a reaction to it. But before we get into all of that on this episode, let's introduce the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So I'm Big Z, and here's the rest. We got UJ.
Hello.
Bob.
What up, gang?
And Rud Dog.
Ayo!
All right, gentlemen. So I want to get our reactions first to the news about Cam Sutton. A guy that the Lions had big plans for, you know, hit a
starting with the good news.
A rough second half of the season last year when the Lions went to more man coverage. Lions paid him big money, $10 million a year. And now he had a search warrant out for his arrest in Florida for domestic violence. He was actually in the Lions facility at the time that this information was released. The Lions approached him. Told him to get out of the building immediately, seek consultation, and then they spoke as an organization and then for a day and decided to release him. So, that's a killer. The Lions, a little more information on that, too. They want to avoid his $10.5 million salary guarantee for 2024. He does carry a $12.6 million cap hit into June. Assuming this is a post-June 1 cut, which is what they will do, according to Rod Wood, then they take on dead cap hit of $2.18 million this year and then $6.5 next year. So it's a killer, but I mean, you can't have a guy like that in your roster when you are setting a tone for the organization. Right, Bob?
Obviously the crime is horrible and all that, but from a lot of Lions fans, and I kind of agree with this, it's a bit of a blessing in disguise that we were able to get rid of this contract.
That's tough. I mean, he had 1 year in the system.
I'm going to defend his play because I think his play, I have a theory that it's connected to this. Like, if he was having home problems, I have a feeling that's when his play dropped off. In part, he was distracted.
Yeah, and you could argue, too, that if we found a better cornerback one, that he would be a better cornerback two. So,
The first half of the season was like the best cornerback play I'd seen in Detroit since Darius Slay. I mean, like, he was playing really good football and locking down some good receivers, at least for spurts. Like, I mean, I hate to see this happen, especially because it's like, it's actually kind of scary. Like, we don't know where he's at. He could have gone off and killed himself or something. Like, it's like one of those things that you can't, like, it's a little too hard to make light of when like it's still unresolved. But all that being said, I think you're kind of right because we did pay him a lot of money and we've upgraded in free agency this year. I think Amik Robertson looks like he has more potential to cover guys on the outside.
Yeah, and you know, with the crime and all that, it was horrible crime and all that. You know
what? If he even did it allegedly.
Yeah, I kind of hope they don't never find him. And he like he stays on the lam like for years, you know, like just keeps on evading the police. And maybe there's an occasional sighting, you know, maybe an occasional sighting or, you know, guy walking through the woods or something or
what?
Yeah, you know, whatever.
What are you talking about?
You know, he invades people's house naked, like Titus.
No, nothing like that. Nothing like that. Just, you know, living the outlaw life.
Well, they should find him so he could face, you know, the penalty for his crime.
If he did it.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds pretty clear and obvious that he did it.
It sounds like it.
I think that
I don't know. Maybe he's being framed. Maybe he's actually being ran by Dan Campbell secretly behind the scenes because he knows he's innocent and he's going to prove himself innocent like the fugitive. It was the one-handed man.
someone said in some commenter said that if you can't find him, just look for a receiver running fast on the sideline and look about 10 yards behind him.
Yes. Okay. That, I did see that one. That was, yeah, that was funny. That is, I like that.
That gave
one.
Me a chuckle.
Okay. I was wrong. You can make fun of it. It's funny already.
But, So, it does from Lions, like from the football perspective of things, it does suck that the Lions are losing a guy and now have to, you know, have to take a big dead cap hit of $6.5 million. That's pretty significant for a guy that's not remotely contributing anymore. And then obviously from the non-football side of things, the Lions had to do it. I mean, there's no other way around it.
Did you see Brad Holmes's comment that cornerback is not a need for this team, even after the
But
after
then
Cam Sutton.
But then Dan Campbell kind of contradicted him and said that they need a cornerback.
No, he did say that, but Campbell's Holmes said the opposite. Mm. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, nonetheless, I mean, we think cornerback is again a bigger need than before this happened, right?
I don't know, do we? I feel like don't we think Carlton Davis and Amik Robertson are already are your 1-2?
I think
that
a defensive back is still a need, though.
Yeah, I agree, but I mean,
look at it this way: a need is a starter quality player needed for the position. I feel comfortable that we have upgraded just with Carlton Davis, Amik Robertson, and Brian Branch is our three cornerbacks with, you know, Kirby Joseph and Iffy at safety. Like, that's a starting lineup of
defensive
backs. Well,
Brian Branch's not a cornerback. He's a nickel. But he also...
That's why I said he's quarterback three. He's the nickel. He's the nickelback. Like,
and then Emmanuel Moseley, if he's healthy.
And all kinds of guys like Stephon Gilmore and, you know, Khalil Dorsey are still battling in there trying to prove themselves. Like, I think we got guys, and we have starting caliber. Can we add more? Can we afford to add more? Certainly. But I think we've addressed it to the point where we have a quality starter.
And it looks like the Lions are going to be tinkering with Brian Branch at safety this offseason and training camp and such, which I think he could play very well with the instincts that he shows on the field. I think safety would be really interesting for Brian Branch.
Yeah, he could just play anywhere in the backfield. He's so freaking talented.
They should just let him play the whole backfield.
He was our best lockdown corner last year.
We'll put more linemen up there in the line. Just let him cover the whole backfield.
Awesome. Kendall Vildor is not part of the Lions' plans for this upcoming season yet, unless there's a million injuries.
He's not on the roster, is he?
No, he's not.
No.
We're planning on signing him.
He might be one of those guys that ends up coming back, though. You know, it's always those cornerbacks that leave.
Yeah, right.
I'd rather bring Jerry back before Kendall Vildor, but
let's talk about something
again.
Let's talk about something a little more upbeat in terms of the other free agency moves the Lions have made since our last podcast, and the big one is DJ Reader. This is an awesome signing. Talk about like a premier run stuffer up the middle.
Yeah, baby.
Lions get him on a pretty affordable contract too, 2 years up to $27 million. I believe it's only $9 million guaranteed on that contract. So I really like the deal. He seems like a perfect Lions guy. And he's going to match up really well. He's going to allow he takes on double teams constantly, this guy. If you go watch his tape, he's the double team magnet. It's going to free up linebackers more and also give Ali McNeil more one-on-ones from the three technique. So it's a really exciting signing.
Improve the entire defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And this already takes a top five run defense and makes them significantly better. He's just got to be healthy. That's the caveat. That's probably why the Lions can get him at this price, because he has a major injury history with two torn quads. I believe it's like 13 games the last 2 years.
Z, you said you don't know how he affects the pass rush so much, Reader, in our text thread. I'm just curious, do you stand by that? Because Brad Holmes would disagree.
Well, of course he would, but I stand by it, yes. he's not as effective a pass rusher, for sure.
Yeah, but you played football. You know that a giant dude who has got some plus ability to collapse the pocket and fix the pass rush. Like, that's what he's got. Those double teams you just talked about, those three techniques that you're going to free up Ali McNeil, that's the pass rush improved by his presence. So he's going to absolutely affect our pass rush, and he's the kind of D-tackle who not only takes on double teams, he has a chance to beat them sometimes because he's that good. So, I mean, he's going to definitely improve our pass rush.
Yeah, Red Dog,
just to clarify that.
I kind of agree with Z on this one, but that's not his strength. What? But he's definitely That's a part of his game he's takes pride in, though, because he's still talking about his sack in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. You know, like,
well, that's not his strength, but the idea is he frees up other guys, you know, that if he's taking on two guys.
Even as his weakness, he's above average at it, too. So, like, that's the thing. He's a solid pass rusher with that massive size and a plus, you know, freaking run defender. So, I mean, like, honestly, him and Leem are a little similar in that way. The Leem's the smaller.
He'll just stand there and tear his quad just to intimidate you. He's like, ah! Rips his quad.
It's a one-off, though. You're done for the season, but you really got that dude quivering.
Right moment. Yeah.
He's already done each quad, so he has to come up with something else now.
But the guy was scarred for life after witnessing it, so he couldn't finish the game.
Honestly, just play him, like, rotationally, and then you just got to get him to the playoffs. Get DJ Reader to the playoffs. That's where we want him healthy.
For sure.
They'll be smart with him. They will.
Yeah, I think so, too. But it's an awesome signing. Really, really exciting for the, like, D-line. We've been asking for them to improve the D-line, and that's a big signing right there.
His interview is great. He sounds like he's going to be the big daddy of the locker room already. He's just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to take Hutch. We're going to get him nice and rolling. And, like, I'm going to take Bud. I'm going to take Leem and Broderick. And, like, he's just, like, ready to come in and just be, like, just a great mentor to these guys. And like, the way he plays, he's directly going to be that guy who frees them all up to meet their potential. So, like I think he's a stellar signing. Like, I don't think we could have done much better than free agency. I know there's more – like, talented guys supposedly, but, like, for what we got them for and everything, just, like, awesome.
Definitely. And another big free agency signing, the line we've been asking ourselves about the offensive line this offseason, obviously losing Jonah Jackson, but the Lions go out and sign Kevin Zeitler for a 1-year deal. This guy is a 12-year starter in the NFL. He's played in 182 NFL games, 181 starts. Out of those 182, a Pro Bowler last year for the first time for the Ravens. This is a guy that, you know, seems healthy on paper and throughout his career, which is super key. And he's made almost all those starts at right guard. So it looks like Graham Glasgow would probably move to left guard in this situation, which is interesting. But we believe in Graham's versatility to play there.
Yes.
But this really shores up the offensive line. It's a lot safer than a big V, you know, the injury history he had with his back and everything. And
safer and more upside, too.
And still allows Sorsdahl to continue to grow behind him there, assuming that the Lions are still big on Sorsdahl, which all indications seem they are.
Brad even dropped a little hint towards that direction, talking about guys drafted in that range, expecting to, you know, develop into something. Mm. I think that was aimed at him a little bit.
But
ideally, he beats Zeitler out.
That'd be great. Although,
that would be awesome.
I doubt it. But
yeah, no, I know.
But Bob, Zeitler, do you think getting Zeitler impacts anything with the draft as well? Or are we going to wait to see you later in our mock draft?
No, well, you'll have to see. You know, there might be some surprises in my mock. Ooh. But no. But
hello.
I don't think so. I mean, I think this gives us versatility where we don't have to get that position. We obviously can.
Mm-hmm.
But Campbell said that this makes the line improve from last year, what they've done so far. So,
oh, damn. Shots fired.
I like that.
Yeah, they don't seem to be missing Jonah Jackson too much. I mean,
I don't think he meant it as a shot against Jonah Jackson.
Yeah, I'm sure not.
It was just they were happy to have Zeitler.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. They might be miffed at Jonah, too, because he chased the bag. Allegedly, Brad was talking about being in, like, the Jonah sweepstakes early on, but they realized he just was going to get way too
I don't think in this business, I don't think they hold it against guys.
Yeah. I'm joking.
Red Dog's a communist. He doesn't believe in.
How did you know?
Making money.
Is it sickle and hammer behind me?
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, no, I'm just kidding. No, I think,
two really exciting signings. Donovan Peoples-Jones coming back on a 1-year deal as well. I think the Lions like what they saw out of him last year, and then a whole offseason to grow into this offense.
I like that one.
Is really exciting. And, well, we'll get to a second part about him in a moment. But But having said that, Josh Reynolds,
J-Ray,
not coming back to Detroit.
He
can go drop passes in an NFC Championship game. Else, well, not with the Broncos.
Hey, Z,
he's going to the Broncos on 2-year, $14 million.
How do you feel about Raymond or Reynolds leaving? Or did you just answer that?
How'd I feel about him? Oh, I mean, it seems like online Lions Twitter or whatever is like happy to see him go because he dropped 2 passes. But, I mean, the man dropped 3 passes all year. 2 of them just happened to be in the biggest game of the year.
Worst time possible.
But, I mean, super. I mean, him and Goff definitely had a connection, especially on third downs or deep, like you need a deep ball here. He stepped up in a lot of ways, especially during the season. It's going to be a shame to see him go. So it's going to be really interesting to see who steps up in his place. Will it be a draft pick? Will it be Donovan Peoples-Jones? I don't know. But
there's one name I never hear mentioned. Like, I feel like people just forgot we spent a draft pick.
Quinto Cephas is no longer on the team, Red Dog.
No.
Yeah.
Cephas is coming back, though. You mark my words. But Antoine Green, like I have, like everyone just keeps bringing up like Peoples Jones, and like then it's like no one, like they act like Antoine Green wasn't drafted and fits a similar mold as what Reynolds was, a taller, fast receiver who could, you know, work the perimeter.
Did and he have production like Josh Reynolds?
No,
I'm just saying we already have potential guys on the roster to step up besides like Peoples Jones, and I'm just curious, like maybe we'll see what their faith in that draft pick was. Maybe he'll step up this year. I mean, there's some answers on the roster already, but I think they're going to look outside still. Draft.
Yeah, very possible. I mean, there's still free agents out there too, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. Tom Kennedy still on the roster too.
Yeah, baby.
He could step up.
Right, TK. Yeah.
I mean, he could. TK. Basically, I think he's just the kind of guy, he just needs someone to have a vision for him and, you know, lean into it like Belichick did with, like, Edelman and stuff.
I mean, ultimately, the Lions weren't willing to pay him, I think, because they are really expecting big things out of J-Mo this year. I think they're going to feed J-Mo 3 times as much this year, if not more. They're really expecting big things out of him. And I think because of that, they just didn't want to completely go all the way there with Reynolds. It's tough. It's a tough loss, but
he's a great cultural depth guy for us. Like, he was like a really nice like third target that like popped up in clutch moments. But like, honestly, I think him leaving is going to have some room for this, actually room to improve this offensive receiving core more. Like, I think he filled a really nice role for us and did it at a nice like high level. But like someone made a point, he's probably going to be like the 6th actual target on offense if he stayed around this year. Like, if you include both running backs and like and all the other receivers that'll be ahead of him with J-Mo and St. Brown, like he's going to fall behind like even further than he was in the depth this year. And I think he wants to go somewhere where he has a chance to be the guy.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the next part. And just a couple things before we get into our mock drafts about the NFL rule changes. There's some significant ones that I just want to get to before we get to these. So the first one I want to talk about is the kickoff. The NFL changed their kickoff. It's going to look way different. You still kick off from the 35-yard line, the opposing 35-yard line. But now you have to kick it inside the 20-yard line, not the end zone. If it goes in the end zone as a touchback, it goes to the 30-yard line now, the ball.
35.
Is it 35?
35.
Yeah, I think it's the 35.
It's a penalty. It's basically like when you kicked it out of bounds.
Right,
now.
Yeah. Okay. 35, separate so apologies. The and then the kicking team lines up at the 35. The receiving team lines up at the 30. There's like a 5-yard buffer zone there. And then once the guy touches the ball, everybody can start running. basically, it's to encourage returns because pretty much kickers just kicking it at like the highest rate in NFL history into the end zone. So it makes the game more exciting. I'm pro on this kickoff rule. I don't like that you can't do like a surprise onside kick anymore like it used to be.
Right. That part's
if you bad. Onside kick, you have to like announce it to the other team. We're going to onside kick. Oh, yeah. And you can't kick it deep. So you have to actually kick it like within.
How does that even look an onside kick then? Does it reline up like a classic onside kick? Okay.
Yeah.
But now it's going to be a declared play.
Yeah, five on each side. I still think.
You know what the league should do to revolt against it? Just every time they go, just do a switch formation to the onside kick to the kickoff returns. So like they got to move like 40 yards around the field and just delay the game every game.
Yeah, well, I do like it better.
Timing.
I do like it better than last year's kickoff, which was horrible. Watching touchback after touchback after touchback, it was just so boring.
You even could fair catch a kick, and
it was terrible. So this is weird, and it's going to look funny, but it should be more exciting.
In the pussified football of today, it's an improvement actually. Like, because I agree, at least it makes the play more likely to turn into something exciting and actually like kick off the game. But like, it's that same thing where you take away all the violence because there's going to be less momentum.
Yeah, well, we're getting to that.
Bob, are you pro? Are you pro on it?
Yeah, I think so. I'm kind of glad it's a 1 year test thing just to see how it goes. But I'm all for mixing it up a little bit. It seems a little gimmicky, all the little changes here, but I'm all for a little more action on the kickoff.
Well, I think it definitely, like a Donovan Peoples-Jones or a J-Mo now could definitely be put in that return role. And be electric. I think it adds a whole new dimension to special teams. That was kind of missing. Yeah. So
Pursuit's not going to have nearly as much momentum flying down the field as before.
You're going to need more. You're going to need more linebacker types, kind of right there, stationary, that can shed a block and get off a block and get into a gap. It changes the kickoff special teamer.
Oh, for sure. It's going to be interesting to see how they scheme blocking for that too. I mean, it's going to really be interesting.
Yeah. I know they've managed to keep safety in mind on this, but like it is definitely an improvement because it'll improve action to the game. So this is one place where I'm like, I'm actually not feeling like this is a step backwards, but this other rule.
Well, I know you're a big proponent of the other rule, which is the hip tackle being declared a penalty in the NFL. That's where if the guy is kind of running by you, you wrap him on the hip or like the guy on the shoulders or hip. But basically, if your hip's on the ground, you pull the runner with the ball with the runner down while your butt and hip is on the ground.
If you go dead weight or something, right?
It's when if you run to their hip and then drop all your weight to collapse.
Yeah.
Their
first of all, I can see that. I can see this rule being interpreted in many different ways.
Yes.
Because it's a tackle.
It's going to ruin a lot of games, I'll tell you, in this call. It was
horrible. The players' union was against it, which should be a red flag for the NFL, but it didn't matter. They went through with it anyways.
No.
Do you guys remember the play when Aiden Hutchinson ran around the end and took Montgomery down by the shoulder pads in such spectacular fashion last year, his rookie year?
Yeah.
Remember that play where he just flew like a lion and just ripped him down. Mm-hmm. That's his body weight flying to the ground to collapse the structure. That's going to be a penalty now. Like they have a very specific idea.
That way.
That's what I'm saying. This shit's going to go bad. This is the worst instinct. And the players union opposed it. What the hell? How does that make any sense? Player unions going to be, they're the ones doing it. And this is
unfortunate
in the worst way.
One of the unfortunate things about the NFL sometimes is that the players have literally no say in anything. I mean, the owners control everything, you know. The only time the players have any control is when it comes to, collective bargaining and, they hold out for whatever money and stuff. But they have very little, if any, say in the rulemaking and all that. It's all about the owners. And
also, good luck watching these little cornerbacks try to take down these freaking just like studs of running backs who can just carry them forever. Like,
it's a joke.
It's going to be ridiculous. Like, I can't see any good thing coming from it. I'll be really surprised.
Wait, how does that affect cornerbacks tackling running backs?
I was just watching Brian Branch highlights the other day, and so many of his tackles were this tackle where he'd come flying in and he'd grab him around the waist and slide his legs under and pull the dude to the ground because it's a physics thing. This is how lions take down bigger prey. They throw their weight in behind onto one limb or so, onto one weakness or on the top of their to make them too heavy. It's so stupid. This is tackling. They're gonna take away tackling.
I think you're gonna see this emphasized heavily in the first half of the season and then fall off in the second half. That's my prediction for the rule. Because I
could see that
when it gets closer, more eyeballs get on the game later in the year, people are gonna be like, "What the hell am I watching? This is a penalty every time."
Is that a 1 year thing too? Test rule.
I don't know.
I don't know about that.
I just don't get how the players can oppose it and it passes. Like, that is wild.
It's weird how the players aren't concerned about it, but they make it a 15-yard penalty, too. It's a huge penalty.
Exactly.
It's not just a penalty.
This is like the worst instinct. It's like they've highlighted some freaky injuries that can come from this type of tackle, and they've labeled the entire scope of the tackle, which doesn't always end in injury by any means, as now illegal.
I thought if they banned any tackle, it would have been like the one that injured Tyler Higbee, like Herbie Joffe's did to Kyler Higbee. Like, but then he can't hit him at low. It can't hit him high. He got it low. I know.
Yeah,
but they'll probably disallow that one next year, and then you're gonna touch.
So yeah, Kirby Joseph can still injure people if he wants, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
You know, these guys sign up for this. They get paid a lot of money. It's a violent game, and you know, I mean, and the players want it. I mean, they don't want this rule. I mean, come on, man. I'm telling you, they're out to ruin this game. This is
also the kind of injury. This is the kind of thing, UJ, that probably causes more injuries too. Like, this is the I bet all the unintended consequences will be. This just reeks of all the unintended consequences are going to be very laid bare, and it's going to probably happen pretty fast. That's my prediction.
It's going to be a lot more touchdowns because 260-pound tight ends are going to be running through 190-pound cornerbacks.
Except that's an intended.
You know, they can't tackle them because you can't tackle.
Offense
them
was down a lot last year, so I think that's another. Reason why the owners might have wanted to prove this, because it's
not the way to do it, though. There's other ways of doing it.
Every time defense catches up with the new paradigm of like stupid ass rules that make it their life miserable, the league is like, oh no, we can't have that. Let's make it even harder on you.
It is. That's what
we don't care about how hard it is for you. We only care about the offense. Let's be honest.
Right. Well, I think our opinions are pretty clear in that rule. There's another rule the Lions got approved. If you win one of your two challenges, you get a third now. It used to be you have to win both to get the third. Now you can win one of the two to get a third.
Cool.
And then the other one was you can have unlimited injury IL. People come off the injury list in the playoffs. Like last year, the Lions were only allowed to bring three people off that list and activate them for the playoffs, but now it can be unlimited. It's a small rule.
Oh.
Yeah. They tried to make the trade deadline to week 10 instead of week 8.
Oh, yes.
But they did. It didn't do the Lions thing, but they did week 9. So.
Yeah.
They need another roster extension, in my opinion.
Didn't they also make that where you could review like the time running out on a play clock?
Oh yeah, that got approved. You can review the time running off in the play clock, which would have helped the Lions that one year again when Justin Tucker hit the 66-yarder.
I still say they should do, you know, with the down marker on the sideline there. They should put a little clock up there like in basketball. You can see the clock running down, and then it lights up when it runs out.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? You would see that on TV so easily.
In the age of interconnectivity, we don't have connected time clocks in the stadium. Like, they're not all linked. Like, why do we have separate running clocks? Like, that just seems stupid. There should be a clock master and one clock for the game clock. That's like, especially when, the refs are going to go on different ones than the players. Like, that just seems so stupid. But how about the, I think the challenge rule is hilarious because it feels like Dan's just wanted to like be able to justify his morale flag that he likes to throw every once in a while. Like, I feel like that's one of like places where Dan Campbell, like I try to understand, and like I can't quite yet. The only thing I can think is he thinks just throwing the flag is worth like the little boost, even if it's a terrible challenge. Cause I feel like he lost most of his first challenges.
Yeah, he's not a great challenger. That's probably one of the worst aspects of his coaching.
So now he's like, okay, good. I can throw my morale flag challenge, but if I get the next one, I'll get an extra one.
Right. Well, those are all the rules, but let's now get into the most fun part of the episode here tonight, and that, of course, is our two-round mock draft. So who we think the Lions will be taking in round one and round two. But before we get into that, really quick, I just want your guys' opinions. If you had to rank 1, 2, 3, and 4, the top four quarterbacks in this draft,
no,
Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and JJ McCarthy. Where Bob JJ McCarthy won for you? Are you biased?
No, I'd probably put him third though.
Okay, who's fourth? Or just give us your ranking.
Yeah.
I know I didn't ask you guys prayer for that, but I'm asking you on the spot.
I'm unprepared. No. Well, I think Caleb Williams would be number one. Yeah. And then Drake May, then JJ, and then who am I missing there?
Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that assessment as well. I think Jaden Daniels get a little too much hype.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
At least as an NFL prospect, he was an elite college prospect, but man, he has a lot of improvement in my opinion. But Caleb Williams, unfortunately, will be going to the Bears, which
well, if anybody could screw up the pick, it'll be
that
done.
Could That's be true. Fortunate for us, though, Z. That could be fortunate for us. A lot of people think Caleb Williams is a head case, and if this is true, this would further carry on the Bears' curse of finding a quarterback, and much to our laughter, if it works out that way. But we'll see. Yeah, he's very talented.
Do you have him won as well, UJ?
Talent wise, yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. I think I kind of like Drake May's professional pedigree.
Yeah,
his size and his arm and his toughness too.
I like Drake May a lot. It's a close.
I like him a lot.
A 1B almost.
Yeah, they're very close. Yeah. Very close.
I still think JJ's going to be a good pro. I know I'm a Michigan guy, but
Fan. I agree with you, brother. But, I think he's going to be very good too.
He wasn't relied upon as much to pass in college as some of these other guys, but he's got the tools, man. He can.
In fact, don't be surprised if he doesn't go somewhat early, like in the top 10 or 15. Someone come down to get him. Like they talk about Minnesota.
I don't think he's leaving the top 10.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But someone's going to move up to get him that needs a quarterback really bad.
Yeah, so. I agree.
Rudog, what's your ranking?
Yeah, you know, I've been actually paying a lot of attention to these guys, and I think the surprise one's going to be Sam Hartman. I think he's going to go number one overall to the Bears because that flow at the combine was just immaculate. And I honestly just have not been paying attention to the quarterbacks in this draft because I couldn't care less because we don't need one. We're not even in the range where, like, they're going to help us predict what's going to get pushed to us because we're so far away from the top 10. Like, I don't care. Like, they're like Caleb Williams sounds like a head case. So I feel like he's a nice little Trojan horse, like trap for the Bears. And they're going to be like, oh, we got our generational guy. And then he's going to suck. And that'll be great.
And he went to USC. So the Trojan.
Like, I just get a sense he's not got the fortitude and grit for the league. I don't know. That could be way off base, but.
All right. No ranking from Rud
Dog.
No,
Sam Hartman.
Answer from Rud Dog.
Was one.
All right.
And then.
Okay. Anyways. All right, so we'll go around the horn. We'll go with the Lions, just in case you're unaware of the Lions draft capital. So after the Carlton Davis trade, the draft capital for the Lions in this draft, pick 29 in round one. The 29th pick in round two, 61st overall. They have the 9th pick in round three from the Vikings. That's 73rd overall. No late third rounder because they traded away in the Carlton Davis trade. But now they have a round five pick, round six picks, and then a round seven pick. So once it gets past pick nine in round three, the Lions will be off the board for a while, barring a trade. So did any of you in your mock have the Lions trading up or down the first round pick?
I had a scenario where they trade up.
So we'll start with you then, UJ. So you didn't actually mock them trading up, but.
No, I did not, because of the draft capital that might cost them to move up.
Right.
I don't think there's a desperate need for a starter at any position. So I had them not trading up. But if they did trade up, I think it would be for Jackson Powers Johnson, the center from Oregon. I don't think he'll be there at 29. No. If he is, oh God, that would be.
Yep, the Lions will run to the stage.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So
I would love that.
So that was the scenario, but I didn't mock it that way. I just don't see him moving up that much in the first round.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But okay, so who did you have then, UJ?
Graham Barton. Guard tackle / from
Sounds
Duke.
So disappointed.
Now we had bad luck with Duke guys before.
Lakin Tomlinson, you're referring to.
Lakin Tomlinson, who we took in the first round back in whatever.
He's actually had a decent career at post Lions.
He turned out to, yeah. It didn't start out so good with us, but I think this Graham Barton's stud, 6'4", 314, just a mauler. Good. He's tackle in college, but projects to play guard, and I could see him filling that role very nicely. So, yeah, because I think we need to feed this O-line to keep it elite. And so I think they're going to look for potentially elite player here for the years to come. So even if he doesn't start right away.
All right.
There you go. All right. Let's go over to Rud Dog.
Oh, me, huh? No, I'm very attuned to where everyone's going because my first pick. Are we just doing first picks or second pick?
First round pick.
Well, I'm going with the guy who's going to replace and probably make us forget about Josh Reynolds pretty quickly. Xavier Leggett, wide receiver. Dude's speedster, but he's also built like a brick shit house. He's like 6'1", 220. Like, this dude's going to be that perimeter receiver opposite of J-Mo and let St. Brown feast in the middle.
4.39, 42.
Yeah, he's got the speed. Yes. He's very, he's a monster. Like, I think this kid will be an upgrade over Josh Reynolds. As a perimeter guy,
it's funny. South Carolina listed him at 6'3", but he's actually 6'1". They did a lot of favors, or not a lot of favors. I'm not sure. 1,200 plus receiving yards, averaging 17.7 yards a catch in the SEC. So
yeah, I mean,
and that was with an okay quarterback in Spencer Rattler.
That frame, though, like it'd be like him and Peoples Jones would give us some like. We have a lot of dudes who are built like linebackers at receiver. Let's just say that. That's like, you know, he's the kind of guy who give you great blocking on the perimeter and also just be another dynamic playmaker for Goff. And because I know it's early and everyone talks about needs, but I think Brad has done what UJ said earlier, or Bob, I forget who said, but is he bought us flexibility. And I think a dynamic receiver could be just take our offense to another.
Definitely. All right. Bob, who do you got?
All right. Well, when I was looking through this stuff, there's one guy that I would love to fall to us. He will never fall to us because he's going to be in the top 10 probably. But I just think this would be fun is Brock Bowers, the tight end in Georgia. I know we have a great tight end, but to have two of those guys, our offense would be so sick.
That'd be
insane.
Anyway,
that's just a fantasy pick. But anyway,
your fantasy mock draft.
At spot 29, this guy, I wanted him just based on the name, and then he's actually kind of mocked around our area. And that's Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback from Alabama. Because I think we do need more cornerbacks. You can't have enough of those guys. And this guy could contribute right away as a rookie. So
I love
Kool-Aid
that.
Kool-Aid McKinstry, Alabama, or Alabama guys.
And he showed up at the combine, too, where some people thought he wasn't going to be as impressive.
Yeah. Did he run with a broken foot?
What do
you? Like a little bone.
Yeah,
he ran a.
He has a fracture in his foot.
But he'll be ready to go.
They didn't even know about until they did the medicals.
Oh, wait. Bed. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of something.
Yeah. What do you guys think of Kool-Aid?
I think Kool-Aid's solid. I'm all for outside cornerback talent. You can't have enough of it in the NFL, especially for, those guys always get hurt. Or you need them like in nickel or dime packages as well and special teams, et cetera. So they fit a lot of
I'll gladly draft every number one that comes out of Alabama. They always seem to be just ballers.
Yeah.
He's also a special. He's definitely a good special teamer, too. So I like that fit a lot. Daniel Jeremiah and some others have him going there. So interesting. No DNs yet. One of the popular DNs. I don't like him either. At least at pick 29 is Darius Robinson. I did not pick him. I'm just saying a lot of people have him going to Lions at 29. I don't think he's a first round talent, in my opinion. So
is that that's the guy from Missouri?
Missouri, right? Yeah, Missouri.
Because also Chop Robinson gets put to us in a lot. I'm not sure about him.
I don't know about the guys.
I think the Lions trade
back
into early second
when
round.
The draft is in Detroit. I just have a feeling. Yeah. Just PR alone wouldn't let that happen.
I don't know. I think the Lions, the Lions don't have like a ton of draft capital in this draft. I think they're going to be looking to trade back if their guy, if like a Jackson Powers Johnson isn't there.
That Jackson Powers Johnson has really climbed in everyone's esteem since I last looked at this stuff.
He's a stud.
I the way the Titans have operated, I have the Lions trading back with the Tennessee Titans in this draft, getting a second rounder and then a fourth rounder for pick 20, or maybe a fifth or something like that. But they will go back from 29 to 38. In the second round, I'll start with the second round, my first second round pick. I think there's a slight chance he could fall here because I don't think people are high on the D tackles necessarily. Is Jazar Newton out of Illinois?
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
I know. He'd be a great fit.
I know.
Illinois guy? Who'd have thought it?
Hey, they've worked out well. At least one.
FSU.
Dude's good.
Oh, not the FSU. Not Brandon Fiske.
No.
I just said Jazar Newton out of Illinois.
Oh, I didn't hear you.
But Fiske would be really interesting.
There's our narrative going on there.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Yes, he did.
I did.
Fiske would be really interesting, and that's definitely within his range. But I think the Lions might be able to grab a guy here that falls a little too far, and that's Newton. This guy's a beast. He offers more in the pass rush, I think, than that of a reader. But he's a three down defensive lineman. Reader's only on a short contract. This guy could be around for a lot longer, side by side with only McNeil.
Him and McNeil are a lot alike, I think.
I really like building up that D line. There's no edge I really like at this range. Are you guys high on Chop Robinson? Low on him? Medium? Where are you?
I'm medium on
him. I'm almost exactly where I am with where I was when what's his face came out that he gets compared to with the Cowboys. Yeah, like Micah Parsons. Everyone was like, look at that dude's freaky athletic traits, but he fell out of the top 10 or whatever, however he fell, because
we're talking about a guy, whether he's in the first round or not. Micah Parsons was still an athletic freak. This guy is not quite on his level.
They're different, but he's absolutely an athletic freak in his own right, and but I also feel that same way of, like, we don't understand his football IQ, if it's going to translate his play style and stuff. Like, he's one of those guys that feels like a little bit of a gamble, but could also pop huge like Micah Parsons. Maybe not to that level, but still a similar type of thing.
Yeah, kind of in line with the Jason Owe, like another athletic freak who didn't really produce in college. Like, Owe had one sack in college, but he's turned out to be a pretty good pro. Not that you can necessarily compare the two, but just interesting from the same program. Athletic Freaks not necessarily producing the stats. Well, like,
Micah Parsons.
But, and nonetheless, I went with Jazaer Newton here. You know, maybe I'm a little biased because I'm an Illinois fan and I've gotten to watch him a lot. But
not
if you do watch his tape, he is an absolute beast. He tore apart everybody's Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. And that's with Michigan, Ohio State, and, you know, and on a Illinois team that didn't even make a bowl game. So that's my pick anyway. So the first, so the Lions trade back. They get a second round pick and a fourth round pick.
I actually kind of agree with you. I think it would be more likely that the Lions trade back out of the first round as opposed to trading up. And
I just
might
don't,
not be a bad move for them.
If they do trade up for anybody, I think it's one of two players, or one of three. If one of the receivers falls, like a Brian Thomas, I think that's very possible because that guy's a beast. The Lions have met with him. They seem to really like him. I doubt he falls at 29. That's a receiver out of LSU. Cooper DeJean is my dream defensive pick in this draft in that range. I'm praying to God he falls to us. He won't.
Cooper, I love you. He might. He's so electric.
I hope he does. That would be amazing. I'd be so psyched.
He's excellent.
I just don't. He fits. He's like a perfect defensive back for the modern NFL defense. The way he can play different positions.
And you can use him as a kick returner. And we got this great new kick returner.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's my dream pick that for the Lions in this range, or Jackson Powers Johnson. But it is a small possibility they could fall because of what's going on at the top of the draft. So with all the quarterbacks, because I mean, Bo Nix, I've seen mock.
Well, like this draft, from what I'm hearing, compared to last year's draft, where people were like, "Oh, this is barely any first rounders." It's like the opposite. Like it's like a super flush draft with talent, where there's just like an abundance of talent. So like,
right, because there's offensive tackles, like there's people with like draft mocking eight offensive
like,
tackles,
and that's like the thing, like it's really the kind of draft where it's really going to highlight just people's methods of how they dislike talent, you know, because it's going to be so many options at every stage early on, especially.
So I think the Lions benefit from some of that talent being at the top of this draft where they already have answers to.
We're in a great position because all the people at the top of the draft are the crappy teams that have to fill certain specific needs. Like you're going to need like a quarterback, a left tackle, or an elite edge rusher. And like, that's what tends to go early. And like something great is going to fall our way because of that.
But, and I've heard this on other podcasts, not just, you know, I'm not the one to say this. I've heard this on other The Athletic and Ringer and et cetera, SI. But, like, the Lions roster is pretty solid. Like, there's not really a glaring hole. Like,
we arguably have no actual hole in the starting lineup.
Yeah, I mean, it's really exciting. It's super, like, great credit to Brad. And they're not even, like, locked in, like, cap hell either going forward. They have cap space still to spend if they want to get one or two more guys,
but everyone's bitching because we're not
like top five most cap space in the NFL in the future years. Now they're going to extend Amon-Ra and Jared Goff here soon, so that's going to hit the cap a little more in the future. But either way, they're set up really well.
That's going to be like the Reggie Wayne, Peyton Manning, Jerry Rice, what's Elway, right? Or I don't know those teams. Montana? I don't know. But you know what I mean? It's going to be one of those generational connections. You can just tell.
Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison.
I don't know.
I couldn't hear. If you did,
well, I can't hear you. No, actually, I can very clearly. But anyway, go on. All right. Whose turn?
Well, speaking of Marvin Harrison, his son is in this draft, and he's expected to be.
If we traded up a bunch of picks to get Marvin Harrison Jr., I wouldn't care. If we walked away from this draft with only Marvin Harrison Jr. to add to replace Josh Reynolds, I wouldn't care. Like, I know it would be kind of considered stupid and stuff, but, like, can you just imagine our offense with Marvin Harrison Jr., Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Jameson Williams as our starting three receivers? And that's not even beginning to mention Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery and Sam Laporta. Oh, you know, this is a problem, guys. Like, I've done this too much this offseason already where I just start gushing. It's so it's too hard not to. There's just too much good stuff on this team.
Well, I don't think Marvin Harrison will be there, but
we have to trade to the top five.
Keep
from 29.
So let's get to our second round picks. We'll go reverse now. Bob, let's throw it back to you.
All right. The second round, what was the number of that pick? I forgot.
61.
61 overall.
Yeah, and here I'm going to go to the trenches. I've got offensive lineman Cooper Beebe from Kansas State. 6'3", 222 pounds, two-time Big Ten offensive lineman of the year. 322, what did I say? And he's played left tackle, right tackle, and, you know, mostly left guard where he was like crushing it. So I just like having depth and keeping that line going for years. I think he'd be a good one there.
I like that one, Bob. Yeah. I like that one a lot.
Big boy.
It's good. That kid's
good.
What's the size again? Did you say his size?
6'3", 220. 322.
Strong guy out there.
322.
I like that a lot. Absolutely. I love that a lot. That'd be a great pick.
Yes,
I
agree.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll make it that far, but he could very well. He's right around there. You know, you see him mocked around.
Depends.
Absolutely. All right, Rud Dog.
I think I'm going to win the draft. Right, mock draft right now, you guys. Although I don't know, your trade scenarios got us some pretty wildly awesome stuff, Z. But based on your guys' assessment, my second round pick of Jackson's Power Johnson out of Oregon is really exciting.
The second round pick at 61, no
fantasy world.
Like I'm some crazy lunatic, untouched from reality. NFL.com has their like grades for the players and ranked, and Cooper Beebe is one ahead of Powers Johnson, and they're like both down like 10 spots from the top. So don't act like I'm some crazy loon doing my fantasy, because I don't. I mean, I am, but don't act like you are loon. But I mean, I'm just saying. So if Cooper Beebe could be there, so could Powers Johnson.
Don't use my pick to try to justify. I'm sorry.
You're technically less likely to have him there than mine based on NFL.com.
We'll see. Come draft.
Oh yeah, we will.
I think the Kool-Aid's extra strong in you today.
It's the Liberty Creek Chardonnay Kool-Aid brand.
All right. Well, you have Jack Spire shots going 61.
Woo.
Second round to the Lions. I guess that would be a great pick.
Our offense don't be lit.
All right, UJ, who do you have?
Okay. There's mixed reviews on where this guy will fall in the draft, but I'm going to say he falls a bit and to us at 61. Cam Hart, cornerback out of Notre Dame, 6'2", 207. Who's most famous for shutting down Marvin Harrison Jr. in the Ohio State game. He's got that size they want nowadays, you know, and he can play a hard-nosed jam corner and stuff like that. And I don't know. If this guy's there, I think he'd be a great pick.
I love it. And secondary. Davis is a similar type of lanky corner he could learn from.
Right.
Yeah, I like that. You've got a Notre Dame guy. That's a shock coming from.
Yeah, it's a Notre Dame guy. I know that, but I really like the kid, and again, it's a position where we could definitely use more depth and talent. So I think
I'm surprised Rud Dog didn't have Joe Alt in the second round.
He's my fifth round pick.
I haven't seen that guy play. I've seen Notre Dame play last year, but I don't remember him. But I like the idea. So
I do like a good one. That size is not, you know, that's rare. That's special.
Definitely. And I think the Lions will be targeting a wide receiver in the second or third round in this draft. So in my mock one here, I went with wide receiver in the second round. A lot of good options. I do think there's going to be the receiver class is pretty strong this year. Especially the top. There is some nasty.
Who do you guys want? Like, if you had your dream. Sorry, actually, it's Z's pick. Go ahead, Z.
At the second round, or does anybody in this draft?
Okay, the ones you could somewhat semi realistically get. Yeah, do that.
What's
first.
Your pick?
I try.
Okay.
Yeah,
what is your pick? Come on, don't get sidetracked by Red Dog.
Yeah, sorry. Here. So, I mean, people in this range that I had, like, that I thought about were Ricky Pearsall.
I love Ricky. Awesome.
Jalen Polk out of Washington as well. Mm. Really solid. But the guy I landed with at 61 is Troy Franklin out of Oregon. 6'2", 176 pounder, ran a 4.41 at the combine. Has really good vertical route. That's kind of where his, he excels, at least right now, coming out of college. Someone to take the top off this defense, along with J-Mo. I think the Lions want speed, speed, speed. That's what they go after. They go after athletes. This guy's an athlete. With a capital A, another guy to fill in that wide receiver room. Troy Franklin, 61.
I like it.
With that one. Ricky Pearsall would be great.
I like it.
Jalen Polk
like
also
if
solid.
If Brad
though,
pulls a trigger on any high round like receiver ever since Amon-Ra, are you not just going to be stoked?
Definitely.
He's compared to Chris Olave at 6'2". Chris Olave is like a shorter, silky dude. That is, that's nice. I like that.
Or we should just get really big, just a bunch of tight ends because the cornerback won't be able to tackle him anymore. The rules. And, we just throw it to him and then you rumble down the field. The guys just,
Oh, and
I like the picks. I like all the picks except for Rudd. I just don't make any sense, but.
I wouldn't mind Braden Fisk at 38.
I laid out why mine makes sense. Also, to answer my question, that worthy kid out of Texas, that 4-2-1 paired with J-Mo, like, oh, God, could you imagine? I think we go – honestly, I think Leggett or that kid would turn us into, like, video game mode, sort of like the Dolphins, but better last year.
The thing about Worthy I've heard is that he could be – a problem in the locker room potentially, so I don't see the Lions going after a guy like that.
So Z, do you think he's not worthy of a
high
pick? Well, that's like a producer
pun,
kid J
pun.
Joke. All right, and then EJ, I wouldn't mind Fisky at the spot that I
would
be.
Wait, did UJ go? Yeah,
I like that kid a lot. Yeah. No, it wasn't my pick. I just said it'd be cool.
Where
I wouldn't mind him there.
When I traded back earlier, he thought I was picking Fisk.
That's what I thought you were going with, but I do love the kid from Illinois. He's a stud. Yet? That would be great.
Who'd you pick, UJ?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Notre Dame cornerback. So Cam Hart.
I've seen him
all
in the
over
first
the
round.
Place, so.
Yeah, I've seen him all over too. So that's why.
I think
he could be there.
Yeah, which makes a draft fun. Everybody evaluates these guys differently for their organization.
Guys, I saw some other random people online say Powers Johnson would go in the second, late, maybe even third. So doesn't that validate my
pick? Is that
pick
like a
one?
Twitter account with like 9 followers?
One of those talking heads on TV said I could. It's possible. So that makes me right? Because, we can totally know the future.
Well, I know we weren't doing a competition on these picks, but it's clear Rudd Dog
thank
lost.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate you joining me, the victor of all mock drafts from time in memoriam. But, I can't take it in all good humility because.
Now you're just awfully quiet. What do you guys think of James Verse from Florida State? Like, Jared Verse, I'm sorry. Not James.
Absolutely.
Phenomenal.
I think he's long gone, though.
I like that. That is.
Yeah,
I think so too. However, mocks are weird things to read because I have seen mocks having him.
Oh, well, then it must be reasonable, right? Because if you saw other mocks do it,
I'm just saying,
I'm
just asking if you like this guy.
Yeah, I do. I think you'd have to trade up to get him, which I would be shocked if they did.
A lot of people seem to think Brad's going to trade up, which maybe we will, but I just can't. Like, there seems to be so much talent still there at 29.
Yeah, I don't see
it. I agree.
Unless they see someone.
Unless they're just head over heels about one of these prospects that they're like, but I don't see
it. They'll have to think it's someone who's transformational. Look, even last year, as much as they loved Gibbs and were ready to sit pat for him at 6, they still tried to maximize and risk losing him by trading back. I just don't see it either. So. But if they have that one guy, it depends on how they rank everybody.
Yeah, they've also traded up in the past for like a guy like JMO. So who knows? But anyways, I think we're going to wrap it up here. NFL rules, NFL mock draft 1.0, first two rounds. We covered it all on this episode.
And remember,
we are a month away from the draft.
Month away, baby.
Month away. In Detroit. It's in Detroit.
Month away. City primeval, baby.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you to SidelineReport.com for supporting the podcast. Thank you to our producer. Producing the hell out of this podcast each and every week.
All right.
He's the best.
No one's ever going to keep
Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. Greatly appreciate that. Instagram, Drinking a Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter, /X, at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts on the first two rounds of this draft. What do you think the Lions will do? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Otherwise, I want to thank everybody for listening. Enjoy the rest of your week. We should be back next week talking more about the draft. So, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your week. And last but not least, as always, go.
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.